if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
All right. Welcome to the show, everyone. Good morning, morning. You know, I have mentioned before, I'm a former police officer. I was a Las Vegas Metro Patrol officer. And I have to tell you that police work is not an easy job for an individual in a lot of cases if you don't remain grounded. Wasn't any real big deal for me. I remained grounded through the good, the bad, the thick, the thin, the fun times, the garbage we had to put up with. I'm a pretty grounded person. Didn't get really wrapped up in the whole deal. However, a lot of people get wrapped up in whatever they do. And it comes becomes very apparent when you have issues like that. Like, for instance, you have a school janitor, let's say. Somebody who's a school janitor at a junior high school. And they don't like that the kids are throwing paper airplanes because at least 15, 20 times a week, you have to pick up a paper airplane and put it into a garbage can, and it's just irking you that you have to pick up these paper airplanes. You get all kinds of pissed about it. You go to your boss, you go to the principal, you go wherever you can, you demand that kids that make paper airplanes should be put on detention. They should help you sweep up and clean up. And this is just a horrendous thing to have to deal with. Not realizing that you're a junior high school janitor and you're talking about something as simple as paper airplanes. You just get wrapped up in it. Same, that sort of thing, no matter what individuals like that do, will get completely wrapped around the axle and whatever job function they're in. When you get people who are like that, and a lot of people are like that. It's just the way it is. Of course, that's the way it happens in police work. You get people who get all wrapped around the axle. Oh, yeah, good guys, bad guys. We have to enforce the laws. We officer protection. It's just us. It's us against the world. Well, with that in mind, an armed police officer was hunted by fellow cops in Massachusetts. He got wrapped around the axle. Police responded to a call shortly before 7:30 p.m. local time, after the suspect was involved in an argument with his wife at the Quabbin Reservoir in Massachusetts, an armed police officer was being pursued by state police in Belchertown, Massachusetts after a domestic incident with his wife Wednesday night. Police responded to a call shortly before 7:30 p.m. Let's see. State police deployed several troopers, canine units, and the state police helicopter in search of the suspect in Quabbin Reservoir. Massachusetts Live reported citing Sergeant Sean Murphy, good Irish boy, of the Massachusetts State Police Media Relations Office. He says, "We are sending many resources to the area." He said the incident was originally thought to be a hostage situation, but no longer believed to be the case. Everybody getting wrapped around the axle. First of all, the cop that's in an argument with his wife and runs into the woods with a gun. Okay, big deal. There's a guy running around the woods with a gun. It's at nighttime. And he's running around because he wanted to get away from his wife. Now, you have the entire state police looking for him for what? Everybody wrapped around the axle. And you've got people with guns and authority and perceived excessive powers over and above that of the citizen, which is not true, running around hunting each other down. Ridiculous. Folks, stay tuned. More after the break.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. We have a story that it's actually a couple weeks old, but it is entitled Egyptian Police Beat Anti-Government Protesters Demanding an End to the Country's Restrictive Law. Now, listen to this story carefully, because this is something, if history repeats itself at all, is something that could easily, I shouldn't say easily, could quite readily come to this country. How about we say it like that? Quite readily come to this great nation. Comes out of Cairo. Egyptian police on Monday, this is actually Monday, hell, about 11, 12 days ago, beat anti-government protesters who were demanding an end to the country's 30-year emergency law that restricts civil freedoms in the latest challenge to the authorities from the streets of Cairo. The scuffle erupted after several hundred policemen dressed in black uniforms pushed back about 150 protesters who had gathered in the downtown, area and tried to break through a security barrier. Now it says several hundred policemen and 150 protesters. Something tells me these numbers are skewed in this story. The police beat members of the pro-reform youth on April 6th, prompting some demonstrators to hurl sticks and plastic bottles back at the officers. Ooh, a plastic bottle. One protester was badly bruised and bloodied, and another was arrested. Here's a quote. All of a sudden, I felt tens of people on top of me, and while I was down on the ground, they kept kicking me, said protester Hassan Mustafa, who, at the time of the interview, was bleeding from the neck in a pink t-shirt, lovely, marked with shoe prints. Pulling up the shirt, he showed the bruising inflicted by police kicking. Police arrested Ahmad Doma, who friends say had also been detained in an earlier rally. Monday's demonstration was organized by opposition lawmakers seeking to end the emergency law, which is up for renewal in parliament later in May. The lawmakers were joined by two reformist movements, the Egyptian Women for Change and April 6, which blocks the unofficial candidacy of former UN nuclear watchdog chief and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Mohammed el-Bashalmashi al-Malarachja Obama, or whatever his name is, in Egypt's presidential elections next year. President Hosni Mubarak, my God, with these names. President HM has ruled Egypt since 1981 and only introduced multi-candidate presidential elections in 2005. His party has kept a stranglehold on the country's politics, in part thanks to the controversial law. The bill allows police to jail pro-reform activists, political opponents, and journalists, and also allows detention without charge for long periods of time and searches without warrants, Patriot Act. It has been strongly criticized by the opposition and human rights groups. Imagine that. Under the law, demonstrations are illegal. Riot police severely beat protesters and arrested dozens at an April 6 rally last month. Mubarak's National Democratic Party dominates the rubber-stamp parliament. The opposition expects its numbers in parliament to decline after parliamentary elections later this year because of new political restrictions pushed through as constitutional amendments in 2007. The lawmakers, who had wanted to march to parliament but were prevented by police, watched the beatings from the sidelines of the protests. Egypt is to hold presidential elections next year. The constitutional amendments restrict candidates such as El Barmadi from running and allow only candidates from a few members of approved political parties. The April 6th youth movement was formed through online social networking sites such as Facebook, taking its name from a general strike it organized in 2008. It periodically organizes pro-reform protests. So, it was an emergency law taking effect 30 years ago. Now, 30 years ago was 1980. This guy came into power in 1981. What do you think he did? He kept it. Held on to the reins. For 30 years, he's been quote-unquote president. No, he's dictator. Now, why am I reading this story? Do you really think that it's possible that something like this could potentially be enacted in the United States of America? Sure. How about the end of habeas corpus? You know what it takes? Habeas corpus is the rule that prevents the U.S. military from operating on U.S. soil for any sort of civil matters. You know what it takes to suspend habeas corpus? The president writing an executive order, habeas corpus has been suspended. The end. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. So now what we're dealing with is, all right, are we going to have the people involved in some suspension of habeas corpus actually defending the Constitution of the United States? I relate this back to everybody who's in the military, and everybody who's a cop or law enforcement, whatever you want to call them in this country, has to hold up their hand and swear that they will uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. Additionally, if they happen to be not a federal person, but somebody within a state, at state level down to municipal, they also have to swear to uphold and defend the Constitution of their state. All right? How many of them actually know what the Constitution of the U.S., the U.S. federal Constitution really is? And how many of them know what their state constitution is? They swear to uphold and defend a document which most of them have never read. I'll give you, for instance, I was prepared with this because all day on Wednesday I was in Vegas. I did the show. A couple hours later, I'm in Vegas. All day, I didn't get home until almost 11 o'clock at night. It was a long, long day. And I was packing. I packed my Glock 22, full-size 40 caliber. And with me, I brought the following, and I put it on my BlackBerry. It says, U.S. Constitution, Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I also kept the Nevada Constitution under the right to keep and bear arms, civil powers being supreme. Every citizen has the right to keep and bear arms for security and defense, for lawful hunting and recreational use, and for other lawful purposes. The reason I kept that was Nevada's an open carry state. However, in Vegas, Vegas proper, you don't see very many people packing. A little bit here and there, but not many. And I was all over town. I went to Costco. I went to my buddy's shop. Let's see, my girlfriend had a hair appointment, had to go into some beauty salon and sit on my can for 45 minutes while she got a haircut. Why do women's haircuts cost $75? Haircut and a blow dry, $75. Mine's $12, $15, maybe. Anyhow, maybe my hair looks like ass. I don't know. Hers doesn't. Let's see, we had to go. I had to follow her into some makeup store. She's kind of a girly girl. I had to go to some makeup store. Had to go to the mall and go shopping. You know, she wanted to get some new clothes and go to, like, Victoria's Secret and get some new underwear. And just all over the place, right? Went into, Applebee's to eat. So I was in a mall. In this mall, this particular mall we're in, the Boulevard Mall in Vegas, is, they generally have, they have their own security, but they generally also have off-duty, I shouldn't say off-duty, they're called overtime guys. They're Metro cops. It's their day off, but they can put in for overtime gigs, which these different companies will pay to have cops on duty. So first of all, when I pull up in the parking garage or outside of the parking garage. I'm walking in. It's a single-story mall. And there's a police car backed in against a little area, which is clearly marked a fire lane. Now, that police car is not a fire apparatus. So already I'm like, great. These guys, they're overtime guys, but they're leaving their car real easy to access so they can go out there and, I guess, play on the MCT on their computers. I don't know what it is. There's parking spaces available within 50 feet of where that car is parked, but now they have it parked in the fire lane. It's not an emergency lane. It's a fire lane. Anyhow, three different cops and two different security officers went by me at one point in time or another while we're in this mall. Not a single one of them even noticed I was carrying my Glock, which is fine because, you know, I didn't really want to have an incident with anybody, but I was prepared just in case someone, hey, sir, can I speak with you? Because that's usually, excuse me, sir, can I speak with you? I'm sorry. Do I know you? I don't recognize you. What do we have to speak about? Oh, well, you're carrying a gun. I don't care to tell you all about my gun. It's all right. You guys can go online. It's a Glock 22. Go online and look it up. It'll give you the specs. Now, of course, they would want to, why are you carrying a gun? Question me, right? And, of course, I was totally prepared for all of this, as I always am when I go anywhere packing, especially when it comes to, you need to tell us while you're carrying a gun. We need to decide whether or not you can do it. Otherwise, we'll take it into safekeeping. My ass, you will. Because you swore to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States and that of the state of Nevada, correct? Yes. Well, here's the Constitution. You want to violate that now? I will have your ass. And something tells me that Las Vegas Metro and the city of Las Vegas and Clark County, which you guys operate in, cannot afford to pay off the lawsuit. And it's also going to go against you personally. Trust me, you guys need to have some umbrella insurance. Stay tuned, folks. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening to 2A Radio. I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, folks, welcome back. You know, it's no secret at all that Washington, D.C. is one of the most violent cities in America. Washington, D.C. and Chicago are the two most violent cities in America, and they are the murder capitals of the country. Now, it probably would not surprise you at all to find out that they also have the most restrictive gun laws in the entire country. Even though D.C.'s restrictive gun laws were shot down in the Heller decision 2 years ago, Chicago's are about to fall in the McDonald decision coming out next month. But what has D.C. done? Well, they passed new laws opening up to try to abide barely, as thinly veiled as they possibly can, abide by the new Supreme Court ruling in Heller. But then they put administrative restrictions on how guns get approved and blah, da, 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 da. Okay, well, the police chief has to approve things by this way and all this other stuff through the reasonable restrictions interpretation. But yet they haven't actually given any direction or authority to the police chief to be able to do that, so you still can't really have a gun there. And crime continues to surge. In Chicago, it's so bad, they actually want to call up the National Guard to help out with the cops. Why? Why bother? You know, we cannot trust the citizens with guns, but we can trust the cops and weekend warriors to have guns. You got to be kidding me. They probably even want the feds to pay for it, to pay for the National Guard to come out. They probably want the feds to pay for it rather than out of the state budget. Unbelievable. Well, in D.C., a college co-ed was shot for refusing to give a man her phone number. You get that? A Washington, D.C. college student claims she was shot by a man for refusing to give him her phone number. The woman, whose identity has not been released, reportedly told police that she was leaving a party in the Southeast Washington area, which Southeast Washington, that's the hood. I mean, Southeast D.C. is the hood. And I have that on good authority from my girlfriend, who is from Maryland, Baltimore area, who did a lot of growing up in and around Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, was born in D.C., and her folks worked in D.C. Yeah, absolutely, that is the hood. That happened, two Sundays ago, when the man approached her and asked for her phone number. He told my cousin he was going to shoot us if I didn't give him my number, and then he started shooting, the woman reportedly told authorities. The student was struck by a bullet in the ankle, and surgeons are deciding how to remove it. It's probably gone by now. This story's 12 days old. Because you wouldn't give me your number. Folks, I want to give you some information. Okay, all you got to do is spit out 10 digits. They don't have to be yours. As a matter of fact, throughout the country, there's some website out there. Some website out there somewhere. Where you can actually pull up, it's like pesting, you know, phone numbers for pests. P-E-S-T-S. Phone numbers for pests. If someone is pestering you for your phone number, you give them a number, you call up, and it has a recording, something like, you know, the number, whoever gave you this number really didn't want to deal with you, but because you were such a pest and demanding to have the number, this is the one they gave to you, you're a jackass and you should probably learn to chill out. It says something like that. You know, I'm totally paraphrasing this. Nobody's ever given me that number. But I've heard it on, you know, different radio shows and things. Just spit 10 numbers. Now, give me your number or I'm going to shoot you. Do you realize the type of violence that is plaguing us in America today? Let's say that this guy didn't have a gun. Give me your number or I'm going to beat your ass. Give me your number or I'm going to throw you under a truck and drive over you. Give me your number or I'm going to beat you with this club. I'll smack you with a 9-iron. Beat you with a Louisville slugger. Slap you with a ping pong paddle. The gun's just a tool, guys. I'll smack your skull with a hammer. Right? The gun is just a tool. So, God created man. Sam Colt made him equal with the repeating handgun. So if this college student and or her cousin were armed, give me a number or I'm going to shoot you. They'd be able to protect themselves. Would you agree? Someone who doesn't get a phone number and brings lethal force into the situation because he didn't get a phone number, first of all, probably not going to be a very good boyfriend. Probably not a good date. But on top of that, do people like this really need to be roaming around? How was this guy roaming around freely in Washington, D.C., shooting women that don't give him their phone number? Because the rest of the people in D.C. that would be his victims aren't allowed to carry guns. Their rights have been restricted, even in the face of the Heller decision. The Supreme Court should have some form of armed commandos that they can send in to legislative and executive bodies only when they refuse to follow the rulings of the court. And those commandos should be militia of we the people, citizen militias. We should really push some sort of legislation like this. Stay tuned, folks. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the New York City Rejection Line, brought to you by RejectionLine.com. Unfortunately, the person who gave you this number does not want to talk to you or see you again.
What?
We would like to take this opportunity to officially reject you.
I asked her for her phone number.
Our specialists are waiting to serve you in your time of need. Please.
I got rejected. I should have shot her.
Service provided by ESLS.
I can't believe it.
If you want to speak to our comfort specialist, press 1. If you want to hear a sad poem written by a kindred spirit,
I can't believe I got jacked on the digits.
To cling to the unrealistic hope that
I don't know why I didn't shoot her. I should shoot her and her cousin.
If you want To set up a personal voicemail account, press 4.
Man, what a rejection. Hang up. Can you imagine? Hey, guys, this is the sort of thing. Go online. You can find phone number rejections. Just Google that and you'll find this. Give those numbers out, please. All right, so you don't have these co-eds getting shot for lack of giving out their phone number to somebody who would obviously, in that frame of mind, make an excellent second half. All right. You know, we spoke yesterday. Wednesday. It was Wednesday. We were talking about the open carry movement in California and one particular police chief. Now, keep in mind that the police chiefs and sheriffs in California are not a fan of open carry. Now, the open carry law in California is you can carry a handgun openly and exposed as long as it's not loaded. The only thing the cops are allowed to do if they come across you is to check the gun to make sure it's not loaded, give it back, and go. They are prevented from checking your gun and asking you any more questions, such as your ID, your name, run you for felonies, run the gun, anything like that. They want to be able to do all of that. Now, these are the officials that are our minions that work for us. So here's a recorded interview with one particular police chief who believes strongly in the Second Amendment and the California militia, but not in the individual's rights to carry an unloaded handgun with them. Listen to this. Actually, stand by. Let me take the mute off. Then we can listen to this.
The Northern California Militia is an example of a growing movement by private citizens to arm themselves. So what do law enforcement officials think about it? We asked Emeryville Police Chief Ken James, who thinks the California Militia is getting it right.
In my opinion, the Second Amendment was written to provide the ability of normal citizens to band together and form an army just like these militias are doing. So I believe the militias are totally supported by the Second Amendment.
But James says there's another group of private citizens who have the wrong idea about the Second Amendment. It's a growing movement called open carry, in which private citizens openly carry unloaded firearms in public. You might see them around East Bay strip malls or Peninsula shopping areas, men and women dressed fairly regularly, except for that gun strapped to their waist. Members of the movement say they are exercising their Second Amendment right to bear arms. They made the news earlier this year when they started showing up in groups at coffee shops like Starbucks, which allowed them to do so. But earlier this year, San Diego Assemblymember Lori Saldana proposed a bill in the California State Assembly that would ban open carry. Among the supporters of that bill, called AB 1934, is the California Police Chiefs Association. Emeryville Police Chief Ken James sat down with KALW's Hana Baba to explain why.
We are taught from day one in an academy that we treat a gun as a threat. And to have people openly carrying a gun down a street, drawing everybody's attention to it, the officers have to, number one, respond to it, and they're going to respond accordingly to keep themselves safe.
Now, just to kick in here, the problem lies in a statement. They're taught and trained that a gun is a threat. A gun is a tool. Only a person can be a threat. So there's a real problem in the foundational principles of dealing with people with guns. A gun is simply an instrument. Only a person can be a threat. So that right there is a fundamental principle in a huge problem festering from improper police training. Carrying on.
If someone was openly carrying right now outside here, what would a police officer do in response to that? Someone just walking down the street with their gun.
They could do anything from merely contacting that person to inspect the gun to taking that person, putting that person in a prone position at gunpoint to control them.
And he's absolutely wrong with that. If they just prone somebody out for carrying a gun, that's actually they would cry officer safety, but it'd be in violation of the state law.
And then take control of the gun to check it. So those tactics will vary, and you can see that the rock and hard spot that puts an officer in. Because at this point, he doesn't know who that is carrying the gun. And at this point, it is a legal thing to do.
So then what, you know, the open carry movement is growing. They say, look, we're exercising, you know, our constitutional right to bear arms. What's wrong with that? What would you say to that?
Well, it's unclear at this point that, to me at least, that it's a constitutional right to bear arms in a public place. The recent Heller decision dealt with a ban, complete ban on weapons in the Washington, D.C. area. And in that case, the case was very narrowly ruled that it is an individual's right to own and possess firearms in their home. That's not in a public place. So the question of the ability to bear arms in a public place has not been settled by the Supreme Court. It's also my right as a citizen to be free of the dangers that they put forward by carrying that gun.
Now, you see, he's saying that there's dangers put forward by someone defending themselves. That is an extremely liberal and really unfounded principle behind people being able to protect themselves. And it is merely a police chief who wants to have more power and authority over you. That's his excuse.
Guns are dangerous and oftentimes lethal.
Which is exactly why I carry one.
And I have a constitutional right to be free from that and be secure from the worry of somebody.
He's absolutely wrong. There is no constitutional right for that. And he's speaking as a chief of police, which he now no longer has rights. He's speaking from a position of power and authority.
Carrying a gun and deciding to use it. I've been a police officer for 35 years. I've dealt firsthand with gun violence for 35 years. I've been able to carry a gun legally, concealed, loaded, open, concealed, whatever, open, no matter however you want to phrase it. I've been able to carry a gun. I have found that, number one, I would prefer not to carry a gun, and I don't carry a gun unless I'm in Emeryville on duty, and provide me the ability to do my job.
Now you know he's a victim.
I just did some statistics 2 weeks ago on violent crime in California. Now, that's not just handgun. That's all violent crime in California. And there's 500 violent crimes per 100,000 of population. That's one half of 1% of the population of California is a victim of violent crime. Or said another way, 99.5% of the population is not a victim of public crime or violent crime. What's the need for defense?
One in 200. One in 200.
Handguns or even long guns are dangerous and oftentimes, like I said, fatal, but their effects are irreversible.
But they are carrying unloaded guns.
Yes, but they're carrying the ammunition with them. And within 1.3 seconds, that gun can be a loaded gun.
If you're slow.
Within 1.3 seconds of getting the wrong cafe latte at a Starbucks.
What a jackass.
Where they're allowed to go.
Where they're turning allowed it, to go and openly carry guns.
Turning it into an offensive
Somebody
weapon.
Could snap and what that gun become a lethal weapon within 1.3 seconds.
Why do you think the open carry movement has grown so much over the past year or so? What is it?
I don't know. I really don't know, other than I believe it started not so much as a statement as to we need to exercise our constitutional rights. My belief is that it started as a way to bring lawsuits against cities. The law says that you can openly carry, but the law also only provides police officers with the ability to check the gun to see if it's loaded. Yeah. We cannot see.
So you can see his ulterior motive.
Capable of having that gun. We can't check. We can't even ask you for your name. So we can't check to see if you've, are a convicted felon, if you've been convicted of a domestic violence.
That's because it's a right to carry the gun.
Subject to restraining
and
order.
And felons carry loaded guns.
Mentally,
what a jackass.
Been placed
and they don't
in
carry them in the open.
We can't check that. So we can't tell only anything other than, is the gun loaded or not? We can't look at serial numbers to see if it's been reported stolen. All of those things. So we don't
know. Who's
going to
carry a stolen gun in the open, unloaded?
I want to shift a little bit into one other thing. This rise of these militias that are popping up around the United States. And here in California, there's one up here in Northern California. I believe they're called the Northern California State Militia. And it's a group of about, 120-something people. And they go train up, around Sacramento, kind of military style. And they say they're preparing for disaster. When disaster strikes, they're going to be out there and helping people. What do you and your department say to that?
I don't say a whole lot to that. I mean, the Constitution, in my opinion, and again, the Heller decision took that away. My opinion, the Second Amendment was written to provide the ability of normal citizens to band together and form an army just like these militias are doing. So I believe the militias are totally supported by the Second Amendment. The concern comes up is when these militias are outside of what you and I or normal citizens would look at as what are they defending. For example, the militia in Michigan that was just broken up by the FBI, they feel that they're going to take on a tyrannical government. The United States government is being a tyrannical government, and
you're a tyrannical police chief.
Attack where the police. I missed that meeting when they got us all together and said we are the arm of a tyrannical government. I must have been on vacation.
You just have to hear your own voice, jackass. You're against rights.
Against
rights is tyrannical.
There is a militia in California, whether it's in Northern California, that had a couple members of the Emeryville Police Department on it and has a retired member on it. And his focus is to support the military when needed. And as the hierarchy goes, we have our standing army, the federal armies, then each state has their National Guard, which can be brought up. And then the militias are supposed to support the National Guard. So heaven forbid we ever get into a confrontation where we've depleted all of our National Guard, then they would start to pull from these recognized militias. That's why they do the military training.
And that's who you believe the Second Amendment is talking about.
I believe that.
Now, here's a guy that has obviously taken an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of California and has no idea what that oath entails because he knows nothing about the Constitution, and it's apparent in his speech.
The Second Amendment, it says, in order to facilitate a well-regulated militia, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon by Congress. I think...
Where's the by Congress in there?
I don't think I'm
what an idiot.
Too far from the norm of the population, and I feel uncomfortable when I see a gun out there.
You're supposed to be comfortable with what the Founding Fathers meant at the time they wrote it.
I know when I talk to my wife, she doesn't like guns. I know when I talk to the people here, they don't like the guns out there and things like that.
It's not a living, breathing document.
And the pro-gun advocates who jump behind all these movements are being very vocal. They are amassing. They are sending emails. They are sending faxes. They are sending those things. When John Q. Citizen is just sitting back. What I would encourage people to do, either way, whether they support it or whether they're against it, is to contact Assemblywoman Saldana and let her know what your support is. And then beyond that, contact your local assembly and senate person, state assembly and state senate person, and let them know how you feel about it. And again, if it came out that the majority of Californians said, we want open carry. I think that I, as a police chief and as somebody that's trying to uphold the laws.
I've had enough. You're a complete idiot and a total ass. It has nothing to do with what the majority of Californians want to say. It is a right which is inalienable and shall not be infringed. You don't seem to get it. It's not a majority opinion on rights. You don't get a vote on rights. Rights are there. They're solid. And you are a layman. You are someone who gets paid to support and assist the rest of us. It's absolutely unreal to me that this guy actually, honest to God, believes that it's something that should be voted on by the citizens. Oh, should we allow guns? Should we not allow? They tried that in San Francisco a couple of times to get shot down every time when it goes to court. It is unconstitutional, but it cannot be infringed by the Congress. Where does "by the Congress" read in the Second Amendment? You a-hole. You totally ignorant a-hole. You know, I don't know. In my day, you would never be brought off of traffic duty. It's unreal. Certainly more comments after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
And welcome back, everyone. So we were just listening as we are in the last segment of this police chief out of California. Oh, my God. This guy is sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. And he's obviously not doing it. He's now offering his own interpretations. It's not your job to interpret the Constitution. It's your job to enforce it. I'm sorry. Pardon me. It's your job to defend it, not enforce it. We, the people, it's our job to enforce it. Your job is to defend it. Okay? It's the judicial branch's job to interpret it. And they have. And they've interpreted it through Heller. Whenever there is a court decision dealing with constitutional boundaries or constitutional questions, all of the executive branch, all of the legislative branch, needs to become familiar with those interpretations and judgments as adjudicated by the Supreme Court of the United States. Anything less than that is neglect of your own office. If you're neglecting your own office by not being familiar with these decisions, you don't deserve to be in office. You're essentially there in a criminal capacity because you are unable to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States or that of your state, which is the case of this jackass in California. Well, here's the thing is, guns are not really that touchy-feely, and in society of today, it's really not something that's appropriate. So I really don't think people should be doing it. And my officers might just prone you out and take your gun away from you and then start harassing you further from there. Wow. I'm exercising a God-given, protected right. And you, who are supposed to be upholding and defending those rights, and the one who is out there to help defend me against others who would try to infringe on my rights, is the one who's actually infringing on my rights yourself? Wow. There should be lawsuits up and down, north to south, all over the coast of California, up and down in every city and county, for everyone that has their rights violated by the cops, and absolutely bankrupt every single one of these departments. Absolutely bankrupt them. Then get together, pool that money together, into some sort of a fund to hire and train constitutionally noted and constitutionally trained police officers that are in your communities. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay tuned for The Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.
Change, and I